All Around Us by Reverend Martin McGoon. Canadian Reformed Creation Overture. Do the Reformed confessions, in particular the three forms of unity, leave room for theistic evolution, that is, for the notion that God used a process of evolution to bring the world into being? And do the Reformed confessions allow for the teaching that Adam had hominid ancestors who lived and died before sin entered into the world? And is this a gospel issue? By God's grace, the Protestant Reformed churches and her sister churches have consistently rejected every form of theistic evolution. Every office bearer affirms the historicity of Genesis 1 through 11. We have not even had a case in which the historicity of Genesis 1 through 11 has been questioned in our churches, ecclesiastical assemblies, seminary, or Christian schools. Deliberately, this question is asked of seminarians and candidates at the synodical and classical examinations. Do you affirm the historicity of Genesis 1 through 11? Do you understand the days of Genesis 1 to be ordinary 24-hour days? Do you reject the compromise theories of the gap theory, theistic evolution, progressive creationism, and the framework hypothesis? Anything but an unambiguously affirmative answer would disqualify from office. The RFPA has recently republished Homer C. Hoeksma's In the Beginning God, a vigorous defense of biblical creationism, while David Ingelsma's pamphlet, Genesis 1 through 11, Myth or Mystery, Myth or History, and Herman Hankel's pamphlet, The Framework Hypothesis and Genesis 1, are testimonies to the commitment of our churches to biblical creationism. For this we offer humble thanksgiving to God who preserves us in the truth. We are thankful that in our history no one has even suggested that the creeds leave wiggle room for theistic evolution in any form. We wish it were so in other churches and denominations. That there are weaknesses and compromises elsewhere must not be a cause for gloating, but an occasion for mourning. Tell it not in Gath. On March 11, Classis, Ontario, west of the Canadian Reformed Churches, received an overture from Providence Canadian Reformed Church in Hamilton to change the wording of Article 14 of the Belgic Confession on the creation of man. The overture, unanimously adopted by the Council of Providence, CanRef, on January 26, proposes strengthening the language of the Belgic Confession explicitly to rule out theistic evolution. The overture, which will be considered at the next regional Synod East and then possibly forwarded to Synod 2016, includes the following amendment. We read, "We believe that God created the human race by making and forming Adam from dust," Genesis 2, verse 7, "and Eve from Adam's side," Genesis 2, verse 21 through 22. "They were created as the first two humans and the biological ancestors of all other humans. There were no pre-Adamites, whether human or hominid. God made and formed Adam after his own image." For the sake of comparison, here is the current wording of the confession. "We believe that God created man out of the dust of the earth and made and formed him after his own image and likeness." Apparently, there are some who argue that the simple statement, "God created man out of the dust of the earth," does not rule out all forms of theistic evolution. A proposal or overture of Providence CanRef will now pass through the ecclesiastical machinery of the broader assemblies. The earliest possible adoption would be at Synod 2016, and if consultation with sister churches is required, at Synod 2019. But why is such a proposal or overture deemed necessary? Because Providence CanRef sees a clear and present danger. The proposal itself contains damning evidence that theistic evolution is tolerated in the Canadian Reformed Churches. The Canadian Reformed Churches face a significant doctrinal challenge in the area of origins. Since this teaching of pre-Adamic hominids already exists in our churches and has been successfully gaining adherence, It appears that our confessions in their existing state are not sufficiently guarding our churches against this false teaching. Theistic evolution is being tolerated in our churches. It is disingenuous to suggest that this project does not endeavor to allow this teaching to become a permissible view in our churches. This error has already been given too much time and space to grow. Official ecclesiastical action is urgently needed. We are firmly convinced that the challenge before us is so dire that it calls for action of this momentous nature. The proposal names individuals who promote theistic evolution, who write for the Reformed Academic blog, and who are involved in BioLogos, a theistic evolutionist think tank. One such man, Dr. Jitsi Vandermeer, is quoted as saying this: "With respect to all that is included in being created in the image of God, Jesus did not share his nature with a common ancestor of humans and chimpanzees because Adam and Eve were the first humans created in the image of God. But Jesus is also truly human in his material body, and in that respect he, like the rest of us, shared in this common ancestry." This common ancestry, according to his human nature, Jesus Christ shares with us a common ancestry with humans and chimpanzees. Providence Can Ref is right to sound the alarm. However, we feel compelled to ask, why this approach? Why an overture to amend the Belgic Confession, which, besides being unnecessary, is laborious and time-consuming? Providence Can Ref does not desire a study committee report, for appointing a study committee on this question allows time for this false teaching to continue being propagated in our churches. Such a proposal could very well end up in a non-binding study report, and then it could die the death of 1,000 amendments. Is there time for that? Why not discipline? Why not use the keys of the kingdom which Christ has given to deal with heresy in his church? The objects of discipline, according to the Heidelberg Catechism, are those who, under the name of Christians, maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith. Question and answer 85. Should not Dr. Vandermeer and those who agree with him be disciplined? Providence Can Ref hesitates. Because these issues are often dealt with as discipline matters at assemblies in closed sessions, the judgments rendered have no public standing for the churches. They are decisions typically known only to the parties involved. Discipline cases involving public heresy should not be treated in closed session. Public heresy requires a public trial and public censure. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. 1 Timothy 5 verse 10. Belgic Confession, Article 14, does not need to be clarified or changed. It is clear, however, sophisticated theological and scientific minds disagree. Theistic evolutionists, also in the Canadian Reformed Churches, argue that the meaning of dust is not clear. Therefore, they say, the door is open to blending scientific insights with Scripture, arguing that Adam could have been born from hominid parents rather than formed from literal dust. Even a child knows what dust means, and if dust somehow symbolizes hominid parents, do we turn back into our hominid parents when we die? Dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. Genesis 3 verse 19. Hominid thou wast, and unto hominid thou shalt return. Theistic evolutionists might think they are clever, but they are simply denying the clear, unambiguous, authoritative teaching of the Word of God. Let the Canadian Reformed Churches bring actual charges of heresy against the theistic evolutionists in her midst. That is the real test. Let us see how the theistic evolutionists squirm to circumvent the clear teaching of the creeds, and let us see if the churches will let them get away with it. That is where the battle must be fought. A Tale of Two Cakes. In January 2013, two women entered Sweet Cakes by Melissa, a bakery run by Aaron and Melissa Klein, a Christian couple in Oregon. The women requested a cake for a lesbian wedding. When the Kleins refused, the lesbian couple filed suit. The lesbian couple submitted a list of 88 complaints in alphabetical order in support of their lawsuit for emotional damages. The list included mental rape, distrust of men, distrust of former friends, discomfort, high blood pressure, impaired digestion, loss of appetite, migraine headaches, loss of pride, resumption of smoking habit, shock, stunned, surprise, uncertainty, weight gain, and worry. Because the Kleins politely declined to make them a wedding cake, the judge awarded the lesbian couple $135,000, explaining, "The amounts are damages related to the harm suffered by the complainants, not fines or civil penalties, which are punitive in nature." Harm suffered? Because they had to order a wedding cake from another bakery? Spare a thought for the Kleins, who endured online abuse, angry protests, hate mail, harassment, and even death threats. No award for emotional damage for them? The ruling will likely bankrupt the Kleins, nor has the judge ruled out further damages. In addition, a GoFundMe website set up to help the Kleins pay their legal costs, which raised over $100,000, was shut down after a complaint that the fundraising effort was illegal. Why? Because the bakery had been found guilty of discrimination. GoFundMe does not allow fundraising campaigns for those who have been found guilty of violating laws. Meanwhile, in Colorado, the tables were turned. In March 2014, Bill Jack requested several anti-gay cakes. Two of the cakes were to be Bible-shaped. On one cake, he requested the words, "God hates sin," and "Homosexuality is a detestable sin," with a picture of two grooms holding hands with an X through them. On the second cake, he requested the words, "God loves sinners, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us," with a similar image. The bakery, Azucar Bakery in Denver, refused Bill Jack's order. The owner did not want to make a cake with a message of hate. The bakery even offered to make a plain cake, which the customer could decorate himself. Compromises offered by Christian bakeries, which have been routinely dismissed. Jack filed suit, not because he was offended as such, but as a test case. The wisdom of filing such a lawsuit is questionable. The result is illuminating. If a Christian can be forced against his conscience to make a pro-gay cake, that is, a cake for a gay wedding, can an unbeliever, even a homosexual, be forced to make an anti-gay cake? The Colorado Civil Rights Division ruled that the bakery is not guilty of discrimination. They said, "The division finds that the respondent did not discriminate based on the charging party's creed. Instead, the evidence reflects that the respondent declined to make the charging party's cakes as he had envisioned them, but he requested the cakes include derogatory language and imagery. The evidence demonstrates that the respondent would deny such request to any customer, regardless of creed." So a cake with a message that homosexuality is sin is derogatory, but a cake that celebrates a gay wedding is not only good, but even something the law forces a baker to provide against his conscience. We might seriously reconsider in our modern corrupt society whether baking cakes, floristry, photography, or other careers in the wedding planning industry are wise choices for Christians, and advise our children and young people accordingly.